Welcome to the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. The ultimate insider's guide from signing day to the national championship game and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast.
Tuesday morning here on the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast, Barton Simmons joins the show as he is a host of the show. I am Chip Patterson. We've got like the training camps winding down. Quarterbacks are being named as starters all over the country. We are going to get to Clemson. We are going to get to Utah. We've got an interesting game that I think that all the listeners will enjoy. Some college football trades. What if there were trades in college football? What are some ones that we think would be interesting? Who would benefit? And of course, the AP Top 25 was released on Monday. Now, we're going to get into some of our thoughts on that. But first, Barton, man, I am upset that I am not a Nebraska football player because Mike Riley took the whole daggone team to the Kendrick Lamar concert.
Yeah, I mean, what a guy that Mike Riley is. What a just a nice chap. I saw somebody, I can't credit them specifically, but I saw on Twitter someone retweeted it and said, meanwhile, Nick Saban gave his team tickets to practice.
Right.
You know, it's like, all right, yeah, way to go, Mike. Yep, all right, good job. They're going to Kendrick Lamar. We're still in camp right now, aren't we?
This is like the evolution. All right, because, you know, this is the, oh, well, like the guys are getting tired of hitting each other. Like, we're at that point in the calendar where I would say like 4 years ago, it was Kevin Sumlin brings everyone together. He acts like they're about to go through gassers. And then he's like, surprise, guys, it's an ice cream truck. Or like someone else comes in and like surprises them with, oh, you get to go to the movies. Like we're going to see Fast and the Furious 5. But no, I mean, this is one up in the game. Mike Riley coming out with a stack of Kendrick and like to the damn world tour. I mean, he's obviously trying to recruit California. That's all I got to say about that.
That's another great point, man. Like, they are trying to get into California and rolling in with, like, 3 inches of Kendrick Lamar tickets and tweeting it out is that's a good way to win some hearts and minds out there. It is funny, man. Like, this is some of the old school Bo Schembechlers, Woody Hayes of the world would be disgusted with the current culture just out here, like, trying to make people cry with walk-on announcements, trying to go viral with loving up your team. But hey, man, you got to do what you got to do. That's a hell of a power move. Digging up that many tickets to a concert. So I was impressed.
Oh man, he must know that Nebraska is going 6-6 this year. He's got to really work hard on that 2018 recruiting class. All right, so training camp is winding down, and more than anything, you know, that would mean the end. Oh my goodness, I can't even think about it. I don't even want to imagine what the end of the camp buzz. But do you have one more camp buzz for us?
Yes. Yeah, I can't miss any opportunities for the jingle. So I'm going to do one more camp buzz. We're going out to Alabama.
Wait.
Give it to me.
Okay.
Players that are making a buzz. Camp buzz. Camp buzz. Camp buzz. Talking about players that are buzzing.
I'm going to be like out at like San Jose State digging up their third string cornerback battle or something midseason just to keep the camp buzz jingle going. All right, we are going to go high profile for this one. We're going to go to Alabama, and the right tackle job has been a battle throughout. And there's sort of a new name in the mix right now for it. Jedrick Wills, who's a true freshman who is not an early enrollee, who came in the summer and is in a position maybe to win a starting job over Matt Womack, who's the more experienced returner, not a ton of experience there either, but right tackle is sort of where Alabama would need to find somebody. And everyone thought maybe that guy was going to be Alex Leatherwood, who was a five-star early enrollee, just like specimen of a man. at offensive tackle. And this Jedrick Wills is no slouch either. I mean, he came in a top 50 recruit in the country, but it looks like he is surpassing Leatherwood and might surpass Womack as the starting right tackle. And if it happens, that's 3 out of the last 4 years a true freshman will be starting on the offensive line at Alabama. Anywhere else in the country, that might be a concern, but that just is evidence of just how well Alabama recruits, because those guys are playing at a high level. So
would that be last year it was Jonah Williams, right?
Jonah Williams was last year, and then Cam Robinson started as a true freshman. Would have been, 3 years ago now. So, again, that's probably a bunch of guys that ended up being first-round draft picks. So, it's not a bad thing, but it's just a pretty – it's hard, man. That just shows you how competitive it is at Alabama. Alex Leatherwood rolls in there as maybe the best offensive tackle in the class, according to a lot of people, and he may get beat out by someone in his own recruiting class. So it's it is a daily battle at Alabama to get on the football field.
When you see that for when you're scouting offensive linemen and you're starting to try and project out what they're gonna be and you're assigning your ratings, like there is the, like, your actual sizes, but then also your technique and whether or not you think they're going to be able to come in and have an instant impact. How many times do you find yourself surprised by the development a player can have, maybe from when you assign your last grades to when they show up on the field in the fall?
Well, I think offensive lineman is the one that probably surprises the most. And again, this kid was, according to the 24/7 Sports composite, he was 34th in the country. So he's no slouch.
Is Alabama. Like, these guys are all phenomenal.
But it's definitely at offensive line, I think, is the toughest position to really get a firm grasp of who's going to be ready right away, because so much of it is who's mentally tough enough, who's actually got the demeanor, the physicality, the competitiveness. But also, who's smart enough to? Because offensive line, more so than just about anywhere other than maybe obviously quarterback, but other than maybe, I don't know, middle linebacker. I mean, offensive line is one of the most mentally challenging positions out there. And if you're missing an assignment, you're getting a quarterback injured. So, that's a big part of it. And Jedrick Wills is probably more polished right now than Alex Leatherwood. That probably matters. But he's also a big physical, road grader too. So it's, Alabama's in good shape for years to come with the offensive line with this class they just brought in.
6'5", 315 is not a small human being for 18 years old.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. All right. We mentioned it earlier, at Clemson, Dabo Swinney has named Kelly Bryant the starting quarterback. As we've been talking about the Clemson Tigers, as we've been talking about the quarterback battles across the country, that is sort of the way that we saw this one breaking out. Zarek Cooper, according to Swinney, will start out as the number 2. Hunter Johnson not far behind him. Any big surprises or reactions from what we're hearing coming out of Death Valley?
No, I mean, that's exactly what I thought would happen in this one. I think some people came in and expected Hunter Johnson to be the starter and win that job. And I think, one of our first shows, I think that I said that would shock me, because while he's a talented passer, I don't think he's ready for the bright lights just yet. And so this is, I think the pecking order is about what I thought it would be. And now we get to see if that Clemson offense can click without a Deshaun Watson or a freak under center. I think it still will. I don't know. I think that this is what we expected, and I think Clemson's still going to be really good because of it. I think Kelly Bryant brings a running element to the game that none of those other guys do, at least on the roster. So I think they'll still be sort of a dual threat type of guy under center for them.
Isn't Tavian Feasters our guy to watch as potential breakout? Like, I feel like I know Deion Kane, and as long as Deion Kane is able to get on the field and isn't having any discipline issues, and last time I checked in with Clemson's coaches, they were very excited about what he was going to be. I mean, the guy's still just a superstar. Hunter Renfro is going to be able to find open space all over the field. He'll be a great security blanket for Kelly Bryant. But is Feaster one of the names that you think we'll be talking about a little bit more as the season rolls on?
I hope so. He was a five-star for us at running back, and he's a like a 10, 400 meter guy. He's really fast. He had 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving in high school. So he's really versatile. He just needed to figure out the blocking scheme and stuff. The kid that it sounds like really maybe can keep an eye on as well is Travis Etienne out of Louisiana, true freshman. He's jumped into the mix at the running back position too. He's another freaky, fast, athletic, pass catcher, versatile kid. And, you know, all of a sudden he's going to be in the mix at running back too. So I think the point being in that is we're going to have – the reason I'm so bullish on Clemson, and in our ACC preview I picked them to win the ACC, I just think that they've got so many – like everyone just looks at all the guys that are gone, but they just have – they have like waves of these athletes that they've been recruiting that are going to roll in there and be just fine offensively. People are going to be checking their programs for the first few games, figuring out who these dudes are that are making all these plays.
Is that DeAndre Hopkins or T. Higgins? Oh, that's T. Higgins right there. Yeah. I forgot. He's a superstar too.
Yeah. Oh, Amari Rodgers, true freshman. Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow. He looks like the next great one out of the slot. Oh, Cornell Powell. Who's that guy? What's that guy's name? So it's like, yeah, there's going to be a bunch of that, and especially on offense. And so it's going to be, I think, just more of the same at Clemson.
I'll make a bold prediction. I think that we will see a lot of the offense played on the perimeter, which isn't, I mean, it's not a bad thing at all. But I do think that, man, they might miss Wayne Gallman unless they just throw Christian Wilkins in as their short yardage back, which is possible.
That is what Wayne Gallman gave them, though. Man, he gave them a real physical between the tackles presence. That guy played linebacker. I mean, I thought he was going to be a linebacker in college, and that was his. And so he came with that linebacker mentality, running back. C.J. Fuller would probably have to be that version of him on offense this year, because I don't know that Tavian Feaster is that sort of a physical guy, and Travis Etienne isn't either. So C.J. Fuller has to be that between the tackles guy. But yeah, I think that makes sense, Chip, to see a lot more of that perimeter stuff. And I think having a quarterback that maybe is even more of a run first guy than Deshaun Watson was may give them a little bit of that element too, to keep defenses honest.
Right, exactly, because you're going to be able to stretch him out, and as long as Kelly Bryant can make the right reads and pick the right spots, then you're just going to be able to pick him apart, because it's not like you're going to leave any one of these superstar wide receivers. You're not going to leave a cornerback on an island stretched all the way out to the field.
Yeah, that offense is going to be it'll be humming. I mean, they're going to be anyone's worried about Clemson's offense, stop, because they're going to be fine.
I don't want to say a much more surprising. I will say that I was surprised at Utah to see Tyler Huntley named as the starting quarterback for the Utes. The sophomore quarterback beat out returning starter Troy Williams. He also beat out Cooper Bateman, though I will say that I didn't give Cooper Bateman much of a chance of winning that job. I look at Utah, and it's really interesting. We had to turn in our Pac-12 predicted order of finish, and I think that on our Pac-12 over-under conversations, you know, we were sort of almost copying and pasting our Utah expectations from season to season. They're going to be salty on defense. They're going to be great on special teams. They're going to figure out a way to get just enough on offense. And so when I get this surprise of Tyler Huntley getting named the starter, I don't change my prediction. I still think Utah is set to be number two right there in the Pac-12 South. I don't know if they're going to make a run at USC, but man, it doesn't seem to matter who that quarterback is, and I'm still going to have the same expectations. Like, am I being a lazy journalist, as the haters on Twitter might say?
No, I mean, I mean, first of all, I agree. Like, I'm with you that it was while I think I expected that was a real competition between Troy Williams and Tyler Huntley, I am a little surprised that Huntley wins it, because Troy Williams played all last year and he has more experience. And I guess they're bringing in a new offensive system this year to where maybe those guys start a little bit more on equal footing. And And I think Tyler Huntley, I remember him from high school. He is a talented kid, and we really liked him going up to Utah. I think this team, I think they're still, the number two team in the Pac-12 South. I think they're going to beat some teams that people don't realize they're going to beat. They're going to be more explosive than they have been in a while offensively because of the scheme they're putting in. And they're still going to do all the things we know them to do, special teams and defense. So I think Tyler Huntley, while that's a little bit of an upset for him to win that job, they've been excited about him from the day he set foot on campus. And I think he's going to surprise some people how talented and how good he is under center, because that dude can whip the ball around the field. I mean, he's got a quick release that fits that system he's going to put up some big numbers.
I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's Troy Williams, Travis Wilson, or whoever. I mean, 9-4, 10-3, 9-4 last three seasons, three straight top 25 finishes. Like, I feel pretty comfortable with understanding where Utah's at right now.
I agree. And Chip, the question has always been offensively. Like, they've been just always inconsistent offensively in all those years. Like, all those 10-win, 9-win years, they kind of grind out the wins. And it's been offensive question marks and inconsistencies and turnovers and those sort of things that hurt them. If this offense, this new offense from Eastern Washington or comes in and is better or as good as they hope it is, I mean, what if this turns out to be one of the better offenses in the Pac-12? Do you have any, they suddenly become, I think, a real contender. So I think that's a really interesting storyline to watch this fall is does Utah become a really dynamic, explosive, hard to stop offensive team? Because we all know what they're going to do on defense. And if they can become that, all of a sudden USC's got some company down there.
Oh my goodness. All right. I've been very, very excited about this ever since we pitched it around as our big, we sat down for a brainstorming session. We were tossing around ideas of some fun conversation topics leading into the preseason. I mean, you can only over-under win total but so much. You can only buzz but so many times. And I like this one. This is a good conversation topic. There are not trades in college football, but if there were trades in college football, we, as the commissioners, Barton Simmons and Chip Patterson, would want to make sure that they are fair. So we are going to be each other's trade machine. We are going to be the league office because we have sat down and we have proposed some trades. And I have tried to make my trades as fair as possible. Some of it was absolutely selfish because of maybe a weakness in one team that I would like to see addressed. An injury that maybe has taken place recently where we might be able to have someone to fill. But in general, I kind of felt like I was trying to make sure that everyone benefited from this. Barton, what were your takeaways before we jump into this just from sitting down and having fun with this thought experiment?
Yes. First of all, I loved this experiment. I could do this all day, all night, just try to make both teams better. I looked at it from who are teams that are real national title contenders, but maybe are missing a piece and could get that piece to get back to the national title mix. I like you, tried to make them as fair and equitable on both sides. I tried to make them trades that the coaching staff, the fan base would be on board with on both sides. But I'm sure that not everyone's going to agree with that. And I'll be very anxious to hear your thoughts on them. And for the record, neither of us have yet reviewed or seen these trade proposals. So we're gonna respond to them in real time here.
All right, you get to go first.
Okay, I'm not sure where to begin here. I'm just gonna start from the top, I guess. I'm gonna make a deal with the devil here. I'm gonna make a Clemson-Alabama trade. They just met each other in a national title game. They could very well meet in the national title game this year. And I think that's more likely if this trade goes through here. So let me propose this, Chip. Clemson gets – I'll start with Alabama. Alabama gets Clemson starting left tackle Mitch Hyatt. Okay. And cornerback Trayvon Mullen, who is expected to start this year, I believe, for the first time, and is, you know, was a true freshman last year, former high level recruit, and he's expected to start at corner. Alabama, or Clemson, gets Jedrick Wills, who we talked about earlier. They're the battling right tackle right now, and Jalen Hurts. And that, let me, before you, so let me just explain my thought process here, okay?
Because Alabama's got Tua.
Alabama's got Tua. So if they lose Hurts, that doesn't necessarily, that doesn't really hurt them necessarily. I mean, it you know, maybe it does. I don't know how they, what they think about the difference in quarterbacks inside the rooms there. But they will be, in my opinion, just as good with Tua back there, okay?
Right.
So no real, in my opinion, no major loss there in Hurts. Jedrick Wills, kid might not even win a job, okay? And he's a, and they are, still have Matt Womack and Alex Leatherwood to back him up if they leave. So they could be, so they're losing two guys and they're okay. Now that's just sort of Alabama. They could probably pick anyone off the roster and they'll be okay. But they do need another proven tackle. That right tackle spot, you know, hey, they're about to play maybe a true freshman.
Mitch Hyatt's been playing since he was a freshman. That guy's got like 36 snap starts on his under his belt, it feels like.
He's one of the most, yes, one of the most solid offensive tackles out there. So if you put him on Alabama's team and have Jonah Williams and Mitch Hyatt as your bookends, that's the best bookend in college football. And then Trayvon Mullen gives them some more depth at the defensive back position. Cornerback, that's a spot they're still figuring things out. Trayvon Diggs may or may not be the answer. You know, is Tony Brown a nickel? Is he a corner? They just got some. They need another body in there that's really reliable, at the very least for depth reasons. So, I figured this one. If this trade goes through, I think that both teams are all of a sudden favorites to meet in the national title game.
All right,
give me your thoughts.
No, yeah, I can approve it, mostly because Tua's there. I think Trayvon Mullen's an interesting addition here. You know, where it was like, were you going through all of Clemson's defensive backs and trying to figure out who you were willing to give up? Was it that?
Yeah, I was. And I wanted, and at first I gave him Mark Fields because he's like a backup, but I think it looks, I mean, and I don't even, maybe Trayvon Mullen's not even starting. I haven't seen the depth chart, but he's going to play significantly. And I thought that with Jalen Hurts being gone, you need really two starters for that, because that guy changes Clemson. And the other thing I thought too was, it doesn't hurt Clemson as much to lose a Mitch Hyatt, because of their offensive system is not quite as reliant on just bulldozing offensive linemen as Alabama's is. So I thought they could take that hit a little bit better. But I just thought Jalen Hurts was such a huge addition, critical addition for Clemson, that they could stand to give up a couple of starters for him.
All right. Well, I got to start. I'm going to start with a one-for-one. This was this is the thinking here, and this is where I started. I was thinking that these two players remind me a lot of each other. One of them, however, is really just starting to become a college football star for a team that is certainly rising and in a position where they want to capitalize on the way they finished last year. The other team, you know, if they get someone with a little bit more eligibility, then maybe he'll be able to grow with his new targets. A one-for-one, quarterback for quarterback, Trace McSorley goes to meet up with Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma. Baker Mayfield makes Penn State a national championship team.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, your thought process is what? That Lincoln Riley is going to do what he's going to do regardless of the quarterback? Because isn't that technically a downgrade at quarterback at Oklahoma?
Yes. Technically. Okay. But
okay.
I'm thinking that since you've got more eligibility, you're building from the start where, like, Saquon Barkley's going to be gone.
I got you.
And
you,
right, and so like,
you're
thinking
long term.
Yeah, I'm thinking long term. I'm thinking that Penn State's trying to capitalize right now, this season, that Mayfield is a better McSorley. Moxie Mayfield is better than Moxie McSorley, and that Oklahoma, having already experienced so much turnover, could go ahead and get started on building the next group to peak next season.
Okay. I approve the trade. I think this is an interesting trade because what Penn State loves about Trace McSorley is that ability to extend plays, that ability to have instincts inside the pocket. And you're right. Baker Mayfield is like the Trace McSorley 2.0 edition. Like he is that much more dynamic than Trace. Here's the one caveat. You know, we're looking at these guys on paper. If I'm the GM of Penn State, I'm not sure I'm ready to get to let McSorley go because of how well he fits into their culture there as just like a blue collar, soft spoken sort of kid. And whereas Baker Mayfield comes in, he's sort of more the Hollywood guy. Like mm-hmm. he's more of like the, wear the fancy suit and you know, be dancing in warm-ups with his headphones on and that kind of stuff. Like, I just there might be a disruption in the locker room there with new face in there, but that might be going a little too next level with my evaluation. But that's definitely an interesting take there.
All right, what do you have?
All right, so I'm gonna go another one with. This is a rivalry trade here. I'm going to go – we're going to do Michigan and Ohio State. Going to get together for a deal.
Nice.
All right. Ohio State gets and I'll start this too. When I was going through this exercise, I looked at, all right, what programs have a weakness that needs to be addressed in the trade market? And Ohio State was the one program – where I was like, they don't really have any. Like, what do they need? And I dug a little, and I think that offensive line probably is still an area that could be better at Ohio State. But the more I did this exercise, the more confident I am in Ohio State being a national title contender, just because they're not missing much. But they are. I think Michigan is missing something, and Ohio State has something to provide Michigan, and Ohio State. You know, they'll take some extra talent here. So Michigan needs a quarterback.
Yeah.
Ohio State has three or four.
Yeah. Which Ohio State quarterback are you gonna give? Because man, Ohio State's got some leverage here in this negotiation.
Right. Okay. So I think Ohio State and what's our like the problem with Ohio State with Michigan's quarterback room right now? In part, from what we understand, is that Brandon Peters might be the most talented, but he's not necessarily a Harbaugh guy yet. He's not necessarily having the huddle presence and that kind of stuff. I think a good fit is Joe Burrow, who is a coach's son, college coach's son, who's just a outstanding thrower, accurate guy, sound under center. I think he stabilizes that Michigan offense and gives them everything they need. And you ship him to Michigan. That kid, as good as he is, he might not ever be the starter at Ohio State. So let's get some value out of him if you're Ohio State. Because after this year, Dwayne Haskins might beat Joe Burrow out. So get rid of one of those guys. Get some value in return. And I think if you throw in another position that Ohio State is just stacked in is defensive line. If you throw in a guy like, say, Jonathan Cooper, who's a backup second or third teamer who's a former five-star who would start for 95% of teams in college football. If you throw in him with Joe Burrow, two potential career backups, then maybe Michigan would be willing to part with a Mason Cole who's like a do-everything offensive lineman. Maybe Michigan's best offensive lineman, but he can play guard, he can play center, he can play tackle, and that shores up maybe that right guard spot for Ohio State that they're messing around with. And gives an offensive line that wasn't necessarily a strength last year, gives them a little bit more stability and toughness. Because I think Michigan's got some guys back there that can backfill with Mason Cole. So what do you think?
Oh, denied. Just on rivalry spite. No. I like the Ohio State quarterback room is like one of those spots where you brought this up on a podcast before, and it's been sort of kicking around in my head for a while. The places that have been able to accumulate large amounts of talent, it is like I'm almost on transfer watch, right? Like transfer or like convert to wide receiver watch. Like there's just you know, I guess, you know, Urban Meyer's obviously been able to manage it, and he's been able to figure out ways to you know, get through it, and he's had some injuries to players to where you've obviously had to go all the way down to Cardale Jones during the national championship season. But it is quarterbacks want to play. You know, there's not a lot that are willing to sit back and just never be a starter.
Well, there's got to be some casualties in next year's battle, because at this point, I think these guys sort of knew what they were getting into. Sure, maybe they hoped that JT Barrett had an NFL type of year last year and went pro. But it also helps that a guy like Joe Burrow is an in-state kid that's going to, you know, be inclined to stick around. Dwayne Haskins knew what he was getting into with a loaded quarterback room. He could have gone to Maryland and been the starter there right now if he wanted to. He chose this. So I think they've got this year to at least work through this. But then again, like this is a perk. And if this was truly like a possibility to do these sort of things, this would be a perfect opportunity to get value now out of a kid that is really good but may never start for you. So that's why I kind of love this exercise. This would be awesome.
How much faith do you have in Jimbo Fisher as a quarterback developer?
A lot.
I'm asking a lot from Jimbo Fisher here because Jimbo is going to go back to LSU, and not as a head coach.
Ooh. Wait, are you trading? Okay, all right. You blew my mind there for a second that you were trading head coaches.
No. Head coaches are not involved in any of my trades. But he's going to take DeAndre Francois, and he's going to take Josh Sweat, and then he's going to come out of Baton Rouge with a haul built for the future. DeAndre Francois and Josh Sweat for Miles Brennan, Kalavon Chasen, and DJ Chark.
Wow.
I had to throw in DJ Chark because going from DeAndre Francois to trying to figure it out between Miles Brennan and JJ Cosentino is asking a lot for Florida State.
Okay. This trade, if you're presenting this trade at like the mid-year trade deadline, when like after Florida State's already gotten beat by Alabama and after they've already gotten upset by NC State or somebody, and now all of a sudden their national title hopes are dwindling, then I'm much more inclined to be excited about this trade. But as things stand right now, Florida State's sitting on the number 3 AP ranking,
Can't lose Francois. Odds
to play a national title game. That would be, I don't know that the Florida State fan base would be too excited about shipping out their sweetheart quarterback DeAndre Francois for the future of Miles Brennan. Because Chasen and Sweat are a little bit of a push. You get one extra year with Chasen than you do a Sweat. Certainly, it would be nice to get Chark because they could use that was an area that I sort of identified in this exercise trying to find Florida State wide receivers.
Absolutely.
But man, I don't know. Like that's a lot of confidence in Miles Brennan, and B, that is probably mortgaging this season for the hope of two. I don't know, man.
It might get denied.
I might be denying this one. Right. They could be. I mean, Francois is expected. If Thursday's season goes as they hope, DeAndre Francois is going to take them to a national title game and head off to the NFL next year.
Yeah.
So you'll take a national title to even to have maybe a down year next year.
Okay. I was looking and thinking about. I was thinking about what was there at LSU. LSU needs the starting point for that one was let's get LSU a new quarterback.
Right.
And
yes.
And it did my brain connect Francois because of the potential, because of his last name, and Jimbo Fisher because of his LSU history? Maybe.
That's a great cultural fit there.
All right. I'm going to
also go Florida State here. And I'm going to make a deal with Penn State. And here's my thinking. Penn State, their offense is going to be fine. Joe Moorhead's going to be – he's going to take care of them. And I'm not worried about what they're going to be able to produce offensively. Defensively, they've got some players, but they could really use an athletic outside linebacker. I think that's an area where they're a little bit outmanned. That's an area where they could use a little more depth. I think if Penn State – could get Matthew Thomas for Florida State on the trading block, Florida State could get a king's ransom for him. I think maybe, like, say Florida State goes and gets one of Penn State's best offensive linemen. I'm not even sure who their best offensive line would be. I put Ryan Bates down. But let's say, because that's an area Florida State needs to get better too.
Agreed.
His offensive line.
Absolutely.
So let's say Florida State goes and gets Ryan Bates or whoever they – basically their choice of Penn State's offensive line. Because this is another offensive system that's a spread system at Penn State. They, you know, their offense has got depth for the first time under James Franklin. They can absorb that blow. And then they also get their receiver of choice.
Oh, but who is the receiver of choice?
I'm going to go. And Mike Gesicki's off the block here. He's not up for trade. But I'm
all American tight end. You can't lose your safety blanket for Moxie McSorley.
So I'm going maybe Juwan Johnson, who is – I'm not sure he's their best receiver right now, but he has made massive strides this offseason. He's like a 6'5", 225-pound outside receiver that is just a – he's sort of that guy that's, I think, in some ways a Kelvin Benjamin – can be a Kelvin Benjamin type of guy for Florida State. So if Florida State gets Ryan Bates or offensive lineman of choice – and Juwan Johnson or wide receiver of choice, and Penn State gets Matthew Thomas. Can you get on board with that one?
I think Penn State might deny that. Here's why. Matthew Thomas, shoulder, we got injury history, right?
He's had some injuries, yeah.
We got some suspension history.
That's yeah.
I mean, I see too many red flags. Listen, Matthew.
But he's hung around though.
He
Matthew
has,
Thomas
he
has been like a borderline 5-star bust for a couple of years, and now all of a sudden we're in his senior season and he's 22 years old.
Yeah, dude, it's time for him for sure.
And I think that kind of athleticism injected into the Penn State defense would make a world of difference. So I don't know. You know, maybe you're right. Maybe they reject this, but I
like it. I like it. That's a good point for where Penn State can improve, because so much of the Penn State analysis and so much of the Penn State conversation focuses on those many offensive weapons and not as much on places where they need to improve, and linebacker's definitely a spot.
All right, what's your next one?
All right, I'll go Big Ten. So sometimes it stinks when you see a phenomenal talent and a team that, you know, he's not really getting to experience the team success, a lot of individual success. So my exercise when I'm trying to go through these trades, I'm going to go try and save Indiana linebacker to Gray Scales.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to pull him out, and he's going to get to go to Wisconsin because we just lost Jack Sitchie.
Like it. All right.
But this was one of the hardest ones for me because I wasn't sure what Wisconsin was willing to give up, because I figured that Indiana could use some help on offense. So, tell me if this is too much. I started with former Pitt running back Chris James. You know, sure. Wisconsin already is losing a lot at the running back position. They're going to be leaning on some newer faces, some capable faces, but some newer faces. I felt like they could part with Chris James. But I also threw in one of my favorite players, tight end Troy Fumagalli. So
yeah.
To Grayscales for Chris James and Troy Fumagalli, Indiana, Wisconsin, Big Ten trade. What do you think?
Wow. So you are bulking up that Wisconsin defense and stripping down their offense.
We still have Jazz Peavy. We're going to keep Jazz Peavy in the house for sure.
Still got Jazz Peavy, but now Wisconsin is pretty thin at running back.
Yeah.
Tywan Deal has had a lot of injuries, and they've Bradrick Shaw is, I mean, he's your guy. He may win the job anyways, so potentially it's just a backup running back. But still, it's a depth issue now. Troy Fumagalli, here's the thing. Wisconsin, as I've looked at Wisconsin and looked to try to project out how their season's going to go, and like, say, oh, first week, I know what I was looking at. First week, they're favored by like 30-plus over Utah State.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it, and I was like, yeah, I still think Wisconsin's really good, but are they going to score 30-plus points? Like, is this offense – I know Paul Chris, we got to have a lot of faith in him, but is this offense – I mean, are they going to be like an – like, Troy Fumagalli is one of their few explosive threats.
Agreed.
So that I think that would sting them. They would be – the question, I guess, that I don't know the answer to, because we've talked about this before, like, Wisconsin is just like this next man up, like, who's the next, you know – white walk-on from nowhere Wisconsin that's going to, you know, be their stud middle linebacker. So do they have that guy that they're confident in that can roll in and just sort of not miss a beat behind Jack Sitchie? Because I agree that Tigre Scales is one of the best in the country at linebacker. So what I don't if, know if they
what
have
if,
that.
What if we drop Fumagalli and we just include two beefy Wisconsin native offensive linemen to
now
be named?
Now we're talking.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
okay.
That's a position, like, you know, they've got some guys behind those dudes that can just step right in and it be the next man up. Now you caught my attention a little more.
Yeah, so, Indiana could be as well served by getting two beefy Wisconsin beer and cheese field offensive linemen as they could by getting Troy Fumagalli.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, Indiana, yeah, that's an area where they've got some, you know, they just don't. And then, you know, Greg Fry, I think, is a really good offensive line coach. He's in Michigan now. He's developed well at Indiana. They've had their fair share of NFL talent offensive line. But to get maybe like two of those just big dudes that can come in and just be Wisconsin-y for Indiana, then I think now we got a trade that could get me excited.
All right. I got one more left. What do you have?
I got two more left, but only one that I'm – I got – one's USC, OU. USC gets backup quarterback Kyler Murray.
Ooh.
Because I think that they the one Achilles heel for USC is the one Achilles heel for USC is their backup quarterback situation. Like, I think if Sam Darnold gets hurt, I think they're in trouble. I don't think they have anybody that can really keep them afloat for a couple weeks. So Kyler Murray certainly would provide that, and Oklahoma's got a pretty good backup in Austin Kendall behind him. So in return, OU, which has a loaded offensive backfield at running back, they give Oklahoma via Malapiai, who's their young, talented running back out of Hawaii, gives Oklahoma what I think would be their starting running back, because that's an area OU has not really reloaded that well this year. I don't think they got a guy that really is a bell cow. So it's a trade in backups that I think doesn't really hurt either, but
really boosts,
dramatically helps.
Yeah,
both.
All right, I like that a lot. All right,
and then I got one more after yours.
Okay, it's a rivalry one, and I actually need help. I'm coming to the negotiating table. I'm gonna need the I need mediation on this one.
All right.
So I think that Georgia would be willing to send Sony Michel to go play for the Gators. And I think the Gators would be thrilled to get Sony Michel into that offensive backfield. But do you give up Tyree Cleveland? Do you give up Brandon Powell? Or is Sony Michel so good that you've got to put together a package here?
Okay. Well, here. So, my question on this one, I agree with that Florida. Is one area that Florida has running back.
Do you like Jordan Scarlett?
I don't like him as much as Sony Michel.
Yeah.
But I like him. You know, and they've got LaMichael Perine. They've got – is Mark Thompson still there? I guess he's still there. I mean, they've got a bunch of guys in the backfield. But I like where you're headed because, I mean, Georgia would kill for a Tyree Cleveland right now.
Right. I was thinking like Florida running back, Georgia wide receiver. That was kind of where I was going for the team needs.
They've got to figure out – yeah, they got to figure out something – to package together to get Tyree Cleveland. And I'm not saying that, I mean, Sony Michel is absolutely worth the Tyree Cleveland trade. I'm just wondering if Florida thinks Sony Michel is enough of an upgrade from their like sort of backfield by committee to make it worthwhile giving up their former five-star receiver. So in that sense, I wonder if like, you know, maybe I wonder if a, would Trent Thompson, or maybe Julian Rochester be too much for a Tyree Cleveland?
Ooh, they need help at linebacker. If we're gonna go with the big names, then you go Sony Michel and Roquan Smith for
maybe Sony Michel and Roquan Smith for like you know maybe a LaMichael Perine just to replace the depth and then
Tyree Cleveland. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, now I think we're onto something there.
Yeah.
Because got enough. They've got some guys. I mean, that receiving core is already, like, really deep. I approve that trade. But ultimately, what does Florida really need?
It's quarterback, baby.
It's quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay, so bear with me on this trade. I'm going to ship Malik Zaire back home to Notre Dame and get Brandon Wimbush back to Florida. Now Florida's got their quarterback. Notre Dame has Malik Zaire back, who they were planning on starting last year, right?
Yeah,
last year he was the starter at the beginning of the year. So clearly there's some level of confidence there from Brian Kelly. And in addition to Malik Zaire, Notre Dame gets Jabari Zuniga.
Ooh, good pass rusher.
Who's like, that's what Notre Dame's defense has been missing for the past, 5 years? Like, they can't get a pass rush.
Yeah.
And so now they've got Zuniga in there who can get to the quarterback. And yes, they're downgraded some at quarterback with Malik Zaire, but, you know, he'll know the offense a little bit more. He'll know the personnel. They've got good personnel around him. I'm genuinely curious if you think that this is a worthwhile trade because that – I don't know. Like, that's – I think Brandon Wimbush would make all the difference at Florida, but is Malik Zaire too much of a downgrade, even though they were willing to start him last year at Notre Dame?
And in losing Brandon Wimbush, like, you're getting Jabari Zuniga, but you've even mentioned, like, the arrival of Mike Elko, we're hoping that, for Notre Dame's sake, that that'll bring some changes.
Right. And I think the other thing at play, I think Notre Dame, they could use some help on the back end at safety, because that's an area that Mike Elko will develop, but they could use some talent back there right now. They didn't really bring in a pass rusher, but Mike Elko knows how to get pressure on the quarterback without having that sort of freak on the edge. So there's some ways that Mike Elko can game this to be successful, but they could really use a pass rusher like that. I just don't know if that's if Brandon Wimbush is too big of a price.
Yeah, and you know who ultimately says no to this is Malik Zaire.
Yeah, that'd be an awkward a sheepish walk into the locker room there, like, what's up, guys?
Hey. What's up, coach?
Yeah.
Let's go review the film now. Oh man. All right, that's a lot of fun. I like that. Good trades all around.
That was fun.
The award-winning closing segment question of the day focuses on the new AP Top 25. It was the preseason AP Top 25 released on Monday. Barton, did you have top six were exactly the same as the coaches poll? And to me, I would say even the top five seems to be almost unanimous in terms of most college football minds that I talk to. If we were to tier this out, then that first little bit. But as you look at the 25 as a whole and even the teams that just missed the cut, was there anyone that jumped out to you as a unique ranking, something that made you wrinkle your brow a little bit, overrated, underrated, and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think Texas is really – I think it's interesting that they get as much credit as they get. They went 5-7 last year. They've got a new coach who's a good coach, but he's a new coach nonetheless. And we're assuming, I think at 23rd in the country, I think that sort of supposes that they're going to have an 8-4 type of year, which they very well might have, and probably that's what most people predict them to have. But why are we assuming that? Like, I don't know why that Texas is assumed to be a top 25 team yet, and even behind teams like that we mentioned, like TCU, Utah. I mean, those two in particular catch my eye as teams that have proven more than this current Texas era has proven. And so I don't know that I mean, trust me, I get the upside with Texas. I just think that they somehow get a lot of credit. And then the other one that I think is a little bit surprising, I don't hate it, but Virginia Tech to be 21 after replacing a quarterback that to me shows a lot of respect for Justin Fuente and what he's just sort of foundationally building at that program. Those are two that jump out. I think LSU gets a lot of credit that maybe they don't deserve to at 13. And I think that, you know, the SEC East is going to be fascinating, as I say on every show. But those are the main ones. What jumps out to you?
That whole for the SEC, that whole sort of log at between what, like 10-15? I think you got like LSU, Auburn, and Georgia there. I mean, that looks like a clog in the toilet that just needs to be broken up. Like, if one team's going to jump up, that's good. I think some other teams are going to fall down. But I don't believe that group, you know, it just seems to me like a lot of AP voters didn't know what to do with them, you know?
Yeah. I don't know that I know what to do with them. I think everyone's is struggling with that. In SEC terms, this is a little bit disappointing that there's only one top 10 team. I think Auburn is a top 10 caliber team, and I probably would pick them as favorites over like Michigan, Oklahoma State, Wisconsin, Washington, Oklahoma.
Like if they played on a neutral field, you would take them. Yeah, that's right. I thought that you were getting out between 5-10. There was some interesting spots where a lot of it is like, let's lace them up. Let's go out there and prove it to me. I thought that Tennessee at 25 was interesting. I was like, I don't know about that one. But Texas is around there too. The interesting thing with Virginia Tech is like, even beyond replacing record setting quarterback Jerod Evans, it's not having Bucky Hodges. It's not having Isaiah Ford. I mean, you know, one thing that I'm hearing out of Blacksburg right now is that Justin Fuente is, you know, he understands there's a lot of inexperience at quarterback, but he is much more concerned about the skill positions around them and making sure that even like Sam Rogers, man, big old fullback, short, but like, you know, short, stocky fullback number 45 that was always just killing people out there in the flat and making plays. Like, there are a lot of weapons that helped that Virginia Tech offense be so productive last year that helped them, you know, push Clemson all the way into the 30s and the 40s on the scoreboard in the ACC championship game before the Tigers went on to win the title. Like, there's a lot there. Like, I know that that defense will be ready to rock, but you know, seeing Virginia Tech at 21 only confirms to me that whole the group between like 15-30 is pretty interchangeable. Like, could NC, like, I think NC State could beat Tennessee if they played, right?
Yeah, I think that they would be favored.
Yeah, some of those first teams and the other receiving votes, I could see any of them cycling up after even a week or two.
Yeah, as I look at this too, the another one that I think is interesting is even having West Virginia in there, because I mean,
you're bullish on West Virginia.
Well, I just think I am bullish on West Virginia, but it's hard. There, I'm just so surprised that the AP is bullish on them, I guess. I mean, they're 22nd in the country, and I don't know. I think that there's – I am – like, so we got our Big 12 expert picks that are coming this week too, and as bullish as I am on West Virginia, I think I picked them like 7th. Like, I think I picked them 7th, and if that's not – and I could see them as high as like – 2nd or 3rd. I don't know. I just
but
think
but that could also be a 7th where they're 4 and 5, where like everybody in the final standings that is like 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th, aka half of the league, is either 5 and 4 or 4 and 5.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Big 12 is going to be it's going to be brutal this year. I really think that's a good conference this year. Who would take out 2 and replace them with 2? What would you do?
Take out 2.
Take out 2 for the top 25 and replace them with 2 in,
ooh,
outside the top 25.
Okay. I would definitely take out Tennessee, and I would take out I would do Tennessee and Texas. I what if I just took out Florida?
Hey. let's keep the streak alive, man. We've been on like 3 shows straight. We've been hating.
Oh, how about this? I've been selling. I will be proven wrong in this one, and I do think that they'll beat somebody. But I'm feeling a little less bullish on Kansas State than I was maybe 2 months ago.
Oh, really? Is something changed?
No, it just too much time to think about it. Yeah, it's 2 things: too much time to think about it, and too much research on the other teams in the Big 12. Like, yeah. I think I started in February being like, this is a year. Here we go. Kansas State, everything's shaping up for them. And then, you know, you start digging more into TCU. You start looking around and you're like, I don't know if they're going to be. How about this?
Bill Snyder got you, man. That's exactly what he wants you to do, is overthink it. Look at their roster. Look at it. See how many names you recognize. And then all of a sudden, you overlook them, and you're looking over them for the Oklahoma State game the following week. And then he goes and whoops your tail by just running quarterback power.
I'm sticking with my guns. I'm going Tennessee and – hey, Tennessee and Kansas State out. And I'm going Utah and – Boise State in.
Oh, Boise State. Interesting. See, I guess what I was getting at was I need Utah in there.
Yeah.
And I think Northwestern needs to be in there. Those are the two that I really think deserve to be in the top 25, or will be in the top 25 end of the year. And I don't know who I'd take out. I guess maybe man, this Virginia Tech West Virginia opening game is going to be fascinating. So I'll take out Virginia Tech, I guess.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
And I'll take out Tennessee to get those two in there.
All right. He is Barton Simmons. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Barton Simmons. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Make sure that you subscribe to the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast, because subscribers get them first. Barton, we got 2 more shows this week. We're going to start digging into the biggest opening games. And then before you know it, man, we're going to have to start making picks.
Chip, it is preview the actual games time. We're getting into specifics. Man, we're just a week and a half out. Let's do it.
Let's do it.